Interview with Lev Manovich, it's okay. March 27. So, Lev, what is a metamedia?
Okay, metamedia is a concept which was articulated by the pioneer of cultural computing, Alan Kay. And Alan Kay was a computer scientist, musician, inventor, a genius. He was working at a research center in Northern California called the Xerox PARC between 69 and the late 70s. And this was a place where like the modern kind of paradigm of media computing was invented. So by then this period they had a kind of working personal PC, the graphical user interface, overlapping Windows, different applications to create edit media in the paint system, drawing, animation, 3D, etc. You know, and then in the 80s it becomes a commercial product of Apple and so on and so forth, right? Part of Alan Kay's vision, which was not really implemented when this media computing was made into a commercial product, such as Apple Macintosh, was the idea that the users themselves would be able to extend the media and create new media. So these programs which we put on their kind of prototype personal computer, you know, he thought of them not as final products, but just as examples which would inspire users to create sort of new media. So we created a whole set of programming tools. So as a way to think about this, right, he said, well, what will happen when this vision will get implemented? And this is from an article which he published in 1977, so that's 50 years ago. He says, well, if this happens, when the computer will become the first meta medium, those content will be all existing media and many other media which will be invented, right? So what I've been doing in the last 2 years is working on a book which first part analyzes this concept and thinks about how computer was turned from a kind of business machine or industrial or military machine from a calculator to this kind of metamedia, right? But because, you know, Alan Kay writing, you know, this concept of metamedia was articulated 30 years ago, of course lots of things happen, so I'm wondering, you know, to what extent the development for the next 30 years went along the direction which he predicted, and to what extent things actually developed differently. Or maybe to put it a different way, you know, when he developed this concept of computers as a kind of metamedia, which will contain simulations of existing media, you know, paint program, drawing program, animation program, would also allow people to define new media, you know, virtual spaces, you know, hypertext, etc. But he didn't really say exactly how this invention of new media is going to happen. So what I've been trying to do is think about, well, how did this invention of new media happen from 77 until now? Like, what are the patterns? So what I did in the lecture here is I talked about a particular part of this development, which is second part of the 1990s, when, you know, the personal computers got fast enough and you already had programs such as, you know, After Effects to do animation and Premiere to do video editing and Illustrator and Freehand to do illustration and graphic design. And these programs really got in the hands of, you know, kind of creative professionals around the world, right? So people really start using the software. And what happens in the next, you know, during this, let's say, second part of the 90s, is people start combining the techniques, right, the effects, the possibilities of all these different programs in their projects. So I think that one of the major mechanisms in which, let's say, new media are being invented, you know, with computers, or media being extended, is by remixing, right, by remixing the techniques from different media, which is not exactly what Alan Kay thought would happen. Right, so for me, metamedia, I use this term in a different way, right? So for example, if you think about, let's say, motion graphics or moving images, you know, I think it no longer makes sense to separate animation, you know, from computer animation, from cinema, you know, you have all these different techniques which come from all these different media, and you can basically combine them in any way you want. And sometimes you're going to adapt a feature film, which is going to look in a particular way, or if you want, you can make some abstract motion graphics. But ultimately, the creative process and the techniques are the same, and it's really you're going to mix them in a particular way in every project, right? Okay. Sorry, it was a long answer, but
no,
it's a kind of big concept, huh?
So, how important are multimedia in the building of knowledge and information societies?
It's a fantastic question. Well, you know, there are lots of different ways to answer this question. What I would say is, you know, when I think about kind of computer media or metamedia, I don't simply think of it in terms of, you know, possibilities for art or possibilities for culture. I think of it in the context of, you know, history of human communication, right? So let's say 3,000 years ago, people started inventing hieroglyphs and then, you know, different alphabet and different forms of written language. And they start making drawings, and then in the Renaissance, they start using one-point linear perspective, and they have photography. Right? So the history of human civilization is also a history of different techniques, right, to represent reality, to represent ourselves, to represent information. And of course, in the 20th century, we have a whole explosion of new techniques, and we have abstract art, and surrealism, and photomontage, and film language. But these techniques were kind of separate. So for me, metamedia is an extremely important new stage where now you have all these different techniques, right, on your desktop, and you combine them to create very complex messages. And what does it mean for, you know, evolution of human civilization? Well, we don't know yet because it just happened, but there's something really significant about it, right? But for the first time, you can combine all these different techniques. Like, for example, you know, you can have typography which flies around in space. Well, never happened before, right? So it's kind of hard to say what it means for the information society, knowledge society, but it does seem to be a very important sort of new stage in the history of human communication.
Which are the differences between metamedia and traditional media and its main advantages?
Okay, so there are many differences. I would say one of the maybe key differences is that it's very easy to expand metamedia. Right? And in fact, if you think about what people are doing with computers, right, they're constantly expanding, adding new techniques. You know, people write new filters, right, and you know, for Photoshop, you know, After Effects, etc., etc. Or let's say maybe people use scripting language and write some macros, and then other people can use macros. Now, on the web, right, you have phenomenal web mashups where you can create application and take some data from, you know, Amazon and some data from Google and some data from Google Maps and combine it. So I think every day there's approximately 3 new mashups are created. And I think this easy expandability is something which is, I would say, relatively new. Right? Because I think if you think about, you know, oil painting or acrylic painting or photography and film, of course film technology has been changing, right? We go towards, you know, sound and color, but maybe, you know, big inventions would happen every 10 or 20 years, now it can happen daily, right? And also, you know, because it's all kind of software, you know, basically everybody can come and expand it, everybody can add something, right? So, you know, you know programming, you can sit down, write something, put it in the web, and other people are going to use it. So I think that creation of new media is really became democratized, right? Before, like, you would have some big companies, and we start making new cameras, and really required industrial investment, right? To make new photographic cameras and new film cameras or make new oil painting, because of software, is completely democratized.
Are the meat mediums already a business?
It's another fantastic question. Well, I would say, you know, maybe I would answer this question, but perhaps changing it. Because we can say, well, why did computer manufacturers, why did software companies create it, right, compatibility between different software throughout the 1990s, right? What was the economic reason? And it's hard to say. I was really in the middle of these developments, but sometimes things happen in front of your eyes and you don't notice, right? So I was actually talking to somebody here, and somebody said, well, I think because users really demanded this. right? So Adobe said, okay, you know, we're going to make Photoshop and After Effects compatible, and you can, you know, put Photoshop images into After Effects. But, you know, to answer this question more properly would require more studies. Well, you can also ask the same question. So around 2005, you know, all major Web 2.0 companies, you know, Google Maps and Amazon and Flickr and eBay, they open their API. API means application programming interface. So what it means is that, like, you can, for example, add the whole Google Maps onto your website, right? So you don't need to, like, you know, recreate it. You just put drop some JavaScript, and then it goes and gets the whole services from Google Maps, right? Well, why did we do it? I mean, obviously we had some economic reasons, right? Which actually I haven't really studied, so I don't understand them completely. Maybe because we wanted, you know, more and more people to use the applications. But I think that there was a kind of maybe new economic model, right? Because people always kind of, you know, people always, you know, would copyright their inventions. And of course, you know, information, right, IP is a very big business. But I think with Web 2.0 companies maybe realized that more people are using their software, and more people are going to mesh up their software, maybe more popular they're going to be. So there was some kind of new business model, right? So obviously, I think we have to understand, right, that development of metamedia, right, with different forms of remixability in the last 10 years, it's not just happening on a philosophical level. You know, it's a part of software industry, information technology industry. So to properly understand why it's happening, we also need to look at the economic models. Right?
And what are its advantages as a communication media?
Well, as I said, the advantages are that you can combine, right, techniques, or you can say semiotic codes, if you like, in a single project, in a single message, which before, right, were really separate. So you can have, you know, three-dimensional shapes, and two-dimensional patterns, and typography, and everything can move around, right, or etc., etc. So to that extent, you know, I think never before humans had such flexibility, and I'm not sure we actually know what to do with it, right? I mean, I think all those beautiful motion graphics which we see, in a way, kind of beautiful, but as I said in my lecture, if you look at graphic design or motion graphics in, you know, in this decade, the aesthetics of you know, projects in this area is very much often about kind of foregrounding, right? This ability to mix new media. People are, like, so excited about it, a little bit like children. And we just try to put as many different media into a single frame or single piece. And it's very nice, and people are creating beautiful pieces, but that's probably not the only way to use this capacity, right? So I think we're just at the very, very, very kind of beginning. And, you know, when you think now, if you look historically, right, back at human culture, well, you had certain stable cultural forms or cultural formats which were by combining different media. For example, you had in Middle Ages, you had illustrated book. So it was text plus illustration. It was a particular form, particular format, lasted for, you know, hundreds of years. In the 20th century, we had you know, illustrated magazines. So around 1910, offset printing becomes commercial, and we had, you know, a whole new aesthetics of illustrated magazines. And well, now we can have everything, right, in a single movie or in a single graphic design. And, you know, people are doing fantastic things, but may take some time to actually figure out, perhaps, you know, maybe more interesting or more socially useful ways to use it, right? But I think that you already have some interesting projects in this area. For example, think about Google Earth. It's also metamedia, right? It combines, you know, satellite maps and a normal geographical maps, and combines 3D buildings and search, right? And it's obviously much more useful than a normal map, right? So to that extent, you know, people are already figuring out how you can recreate really new things by mixing different codes, different representations.
How can they be considered as an innovative space in art and in the revolution of artistic production?
So what can be considered?
How can they be considered as an innovative space in art?
And they, who are they?
The metamedia.
Metamedia. Well, I think that I think it's a little bit early to say. I'll give you maybe a couple of answers. One is, I think that with development of, let's say, this new metamedia, right, based on software, based on computer, in some ways parallels the growing popularity of remix techniques and remix practice, right? So people start, maybe depending on which account you look at, people start making music remixes, let's say, already maybe in the early 70s, and then it becomes more prominent in the early 80s, and then, you know, maybe in the 90s, people start using the term remix to talk about different cultural forms, not just music. And as I mentioned in my lecture, I think it's kind of completely clear to me why remix really emerges as one of the key, if not the key, aesthetics of our time, because I think it corresponds to a process of globalization, right? Different cultures connecting, learning about each other, you know, people are being exposed to lots of things, and then you get these experiences of some music group in Brooklyn combining some like Jewish, Yiddish music or some hip-hop, right? It's kind of corresponds to people's experience. Like look at this Congress, right? We have people from 30 countries and we all can mix it together and mixing languages. At the same time, I think the industry, right? The culture industry, design, animation, I mean motion graphics, etc., you know, Web 2.0 companies have been quite quick, right, to start really using the possibilities of metamedia. And I think today, for example, if you go look at some, you know, artistic work, often what really differentiates it from commercial work is that it's like more pure. You know, like for example, I was asked to write an essay for an exhibition, which was in San Diego Museum of Art, called Moving Painting, about artists doing animation. And with the exception of like one or two works, most works were more like traditional animation and some hand drawing stuff. And it stands in a very, very big contrast to what you see on TV, what you see, right, on your phone, et cetera, et cetera. So it's almost like I think people are a little bit afraid of metamedia because it's already been used so effectively by companies, and they try to separate themselves by doing so poor, but ultimately I don't think it's the right solution, right? We have to start using it and, you know, create our own interesting things. And actually, when I think about this, the most interesting projects in digital art, the projects which have been done like maybe 15 years ago and still relevant, it's a project where people really understand very deeply what software can do and how they can combine different media in the software, and the projects actually take advantage of it. Like for example, Google Earth is based on a certain technology, which itself was partly based on a project done by artists about 15 years ago. You know, so that's an example of sort of how you can use it. But I think to use it, you also have to kind of, you have to understand different media, photography, film, animation, drawing, but you also have to learn, you have to maybe know about programming so you can combine this media in an interesting way. Right, so what I'm doing in my book is I analyze different examples, and I say, well, here are some examples of maybe which are kind of very trivial, and here are some examples which are kind of amazing. And as I said, I think to me, when I think about what have been my most favorite projects in digital media, it's actually projects which are metamedia projects, which are combined different media, but in a kind of radically new way, right? To really kind of create new ways to represent space, time, human experience, etc., etc.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.